In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Tailgate.
It's time for the tailgate.
Toss me a cold one. Nothing better than a 7 a.m. beer and an unbrushed mouth.
Your official weekend destination for all things football.
You are looking live.
The granddaddy
of them all.
NCAA.
Travis Hunter circles around down the sideline. There he goes. The most dynamic player in college football. Touchdown, Colorado.
The NFL.
Williams, pressure coming. He felt it. Looked. Saw it. Evaded it. Still on the move. Looking around. Williams is going to take off for the end zone.
It's like it's its own playground.
And now, it's time to kick off the tailgate with your host, Paul Pabst.
You ready, champ?
I'm ready for this my whole life.
On Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score and live on the Odyssey app.
Welcome to Tailgate NFL Week 11. I am Paul Pabst here with Tyler on the board. Morale is high. We are getting close to Thanksgiving, one of the best football weeks of the year. It's flannel season. It was 28 degrees when I left the house this morning. That's fantastic. It's fireplace season. It's pot of chili season. I'm in for all of that. Bonus chili tip for you, Tyler, and everyone listening in the Chicagoland area. Two parts ground beef, one part Italian sausage. Thank me later. All right, let's get to it. The lead this week in Chicago. There's a lot going on. We're going to get to the Bears in a second, but you know, it's been a fun week in Chicago with like the Cubs are looking for pitchers. Pete Crow Armstrong, Team USA, that was very cool. The Bulls still doing well-ish, a little cooling off, but to have Victor Wembanyama in town, that was really nice to see. Really good start for Connor Bedard and the Blackhawks. The Bears win two in a row, two losses that were turned into wins, basically. I was listening to The Score earlier this week, and the phrase ugly win was thrown around, or bad win was thrown around a lot, and I get that. The road to a win wasn't smooth in either of the last two games against the Bengals or against the Giants. But these games last year would have been losses. You're almost like forgetting what happened last year at this time. I think middle of a four-game losing streak that became a 10-game losing streak. So when you have the last 2 weeks, like the Bengals and the Giants, you take them, you move on, and you realize there's things to clean up. But all you have to do in the NFL is get to 10 wins, 11 wins, and make the playoffs. I'll give you an example. Years ago, Eli Manning and the Giants made the playoffs twice on the last day of the regular season. They won 10 games two different times in Eli Manning's Giants career. They got the wild card one time. They got the division the other time. They came one game away in week 16, 16-game season back then, from making or missing the playoffs. After they made the playoffs, they won their next four games and won the Super Bowl. That put Eli Manning in the Hall of Fame. Two seasons where they snuck into the playoffs, were not favored to win anything. They end up winning the Super Bowl against the Patriots. And that's what's going to put Eli Manning in the Hall of Fame. And he almost missed the playoffs both times. Let's get to it. 6-7 The Score. I'm Paul Pabst. A lot of football. We're going to get to college football in a little bit, but let's get to the Bears' next game. Sunday at noon against the Vikings. Vikings, by the way, great stadium if you've never been there. It looks like kind of this cool spaceship, not a spaceship on top of a, you know, classic stadium, no offense. But as much as I wish the Vikings would have played outdoors or had a retractable stadium, it's a very cool building. The Vikings are favored in this game because, and I don't think that Vegas considers them a better team. I think they look at Vegas. Vegas looks at the Vikings as this is a must-win-ish, maybe just a must-win game for Minnesota. They sit 4-5. They've lost three of their last four. They had a nice win against the Lions, what was that, 2 weeks ago? But the Vikings have the Bears this weekend and the Packers next weekend. If they lose Bears-Packers, that's it. Season's over. And you're just playing out the string. It's over, Johnny. But for the Bears, this is an opportunity to take down a young quarterback in J.J. McCarthy, who had one great quarter against the Bears in week one, or else the Bears are, you know, 7-2 instead of 6-3. So you got to look at him and say, J.J. McCarthy, he doesn't have a lot under his belt. He was hurt last year. He's had some up and down moments this year. But don't let him flourish like Flacco did 2 weeks ago or Jackson Dart did for the first three quarters last week. They really need to make him look, feel uncomfortable, you know, make him give up a pick or two. He has got a big arm, a lot of confidence, and he'll try some things, both good and bad, with J.J. McCarthy. So you win this game against the Vikings, that 10-win number that everyone's throwing around really starts to look attainable. And if you look at the Bears playoffs coming up, you know, chances for the playoffs coming up, it's not going to be an easy route. Minnesota, Pittsburgh, Philadelphia, Green Bay, Cleveland, there's your December 14th game at home that might be easy-ish. Then you have Green Bay, San Francisco, and Detroit in the last game of the season. One interesting thing about that Detroit game, the last game of the season, let's say Detroit has the division in hand, and they don't need that last game for home field. Do they rest people? Long way away, but something to keep an eye on. I'll talk about the Bears next game in a minute, but one of the things we do here on the tailgate is we watch a lot of football, and then we talk a lot of football. Again, Paul Papp, 670 score, tailgate. Tyler, I spend most of my week trying to dodge weekend activities where I can't watch football, if you know what I'm saying. Like a wedding. We talked about fall weddings, how dangerous they are to football watching. You know, today I have to go to a 5-year-old birthday party. I think he's my nephew. His name's Ben or something like that. And it's at 4 o'clock. 4 o'clock, I have to go to a 4-year-old's, 5-year-old's, whatever it takes, birthday party. I love the kid. I'll buy him a truck or a train, whatever he wants. I'll buy him, he'll get his 401k going. Anything to get out of this party. But it doesn't really work with family. You know, I'll go to the party and then, you know, I'm on my phone, or they don't have the TV on, or they only have one TV, unlike myself who has four because I'm a maniac. And Tyler, I'm hearing reports that you may miss some of the Bears game against the Vikings tomorrow. What's the status?
Yeah, big conundrum tomorrow. I have a baptism that I have to go to, and it starts at 11:45 tomorrow morning. And I've already been plotting with my brother, my dad. All right, whose phone are we going to potentially put the game on so we don't miss most of what's going on with the Bears game?
Yeah, there's a lot of issues here. I'm going to break them down. Scheduling a baptism at 11:45 on a football weekend when the Bears are playing in the early window is
brutal.
Yeah, that's a tough one. But I don't think there's any way around the schedule because it's usually done after the masses. I'm Catholic. I know the drill. I used to be an altar boy, Glenwood St. John's Church. So you got to bring a phone, but the Wi-Fi signal in church is rarely good. You might have to just rely on, data. So this could be a really tough first quarter for you.
I'm going to make sure my phone is fully juiced when we walk in there.
I have a theory. Here's what I thought about. I get invited to fall weddings once in a while. And when I do, I have a theory. You know, I don't want to spend a Saturday, no offense, at a wedding when I could be watching football. What if I could buy a gift that was double the price of a normal gift, and I'm basically buying my way out of the wedding? Like, if you write a check for, let's say, $250 to a couple for a wedding, can we make it $500? But I'm basically telling you, I can't go. I've got to watch football all day. Notre Dame's got Pitt. I got to watch that. Now, you might be mad at me, but you get double the size gift for your wedding. What are your thoughts on that, Tyler?
Oh, I think it's an absolutely brilliant idea. I love that.
I'm going to patent this, get it around. All right, tailgate 670 the score. We're going to hit some college football in a few minutes, but let's get to the Bears' last game. 24-20 comeback win over the New York Giants. We talked about this game before that it would not be easy. Jackson Dart was playing well, even though they had lots of injuries to Malik Nabers and Cam Scataboo. Good young quarterback, gutsy young quarterback. We'll talk about that in a second. A very good defensive line. So the Bears score early, just like always. First quarter score, and then it just kind of cools for the second and third quarter. It felt like it was one of those games where it was going to be halftime 21-10 Bears, and then they just, multiple things happened, and it just slowed down. The second, third quarter, the Giants score 17 points, really passing well, running well. Jackson Dart, looked fantastic. late in the third quarter, I remember sitting there watching the game going, I don't think this is the Bears' day. It just felt like they couldn't stop Dart. And then C.J. Gardner-Johnson, who is, you know, midseason MVP, for God's sake, with that defense. He is a ball player. He tries to make plays. There's a guy who's trying to rebuild a career and get a contract. He's going to go and make plays. The Dart fumble, he gets hurt. Bears get the ball back. Field goal cuts it to 17-10. Okay, you got some momentum. The fourth quarter, there was a throw to the Giants running back Devin Singletary in the right flat on a third down. Noah Sewell comes up, number 44, really good linebacker, friend of the show, comes up and just looks like he's going to drop Singletary for a loss. Bounces off him. I think Singletary rambled for like 41 yards. Huge play. The Giants go up 20-10. That was the play where I was like, I don't think it's going to happen today. I don't think it's going to happen. But this isn't the Bears of last year or 2 years ago where fourth quarter comebacks are rare. Now they're becoming the norm. So Dart's out. Russell Wilson's in. Russell Wilson was non-threatening. That's the best way I could describe what he did last week. He was a non-threatening football player. I've always been a Russell Wilson guy, know him personally, but he looks like he has lost confidence. So the Bears have a long drive, 9 plays, 91 yards, Caleb to Adunze for the TD. Now it's 20-17. New York's still up 3. Russell Wilson takes a sack, 3 and out. I mean, he could have taken a knee and done better on that next drive. The Bears take it in for a score, an unbelievable run around the left side by Caleb Williams. If you saw that play, he had some receivers open. I'm not going to name names, but a guy who had a couple drops early in the game, and he bypassed him for a run into the end zone. So great win for the Bears. Fourth quarter win. Caleb Williams got his flowers nationally and locally. And then the good things from that game, Luther Burden. I mean, you look at this guy, and he seems to catch everything thrown his way. Does not get a ton of targets. I think that's going to ramp up. I think everyone thinks it is. And then Colston Loveland. There were 6 drops by the Bears, 6 official drops by the Bears on Sunday, but it wasn't by Colston Loveland. He had that third down where he reached back across his body and picked that one out of the air. That was as tough as a catch as it gets. C.J. Gardner-Johnson, we talked about him. He is making plays. Blitzes, sacks, punching the ball out, fantastic. Swift was really good. Montez Sweat really picking up steam. Austin Booker is developing really quickly as a defensive lineman. First half of the season, injuries, didn't get a lot of run. He is really ramped up. And if they discover Austin Booker is a legit defensive lineman and pass rusher, boy, that would be great for not just the back half of this season, but the next 4 or 5 seasons. They hit the Giants quarterback 9 times over the course of the day. You're probably winning if you hit the other team's quarterback 9 times. On the other side, they pressured Caleb Williams, I think like 13 times, 0 sacks. Caleb was escaping all day. Last year, I think Caleb Williams was sacked 64 times. This year, he's on pace for less than 30. That is a stat of the stats for this year with the Bears. It's a combination of the offensive line, getting the ball out a little earlier, still not as early as a lot of people would like, and his escapability. The bad from that Giants game, not enough pass defense in the drops. 6 drops will usually lose you a game, usually, but it didn't. And that's what's the difference. As I said, last year at this time, the Bears were in the middle of a 4-game losing streak that was on its way to a 10-game losing streak. Last year, the past 2 weeks would have been losses, but they're not. Here's Ben Johnson on Monday talking about the close games.
We want a team that will fight all 60 minutes. You know, it's a group that believes in what we're doing as a coaching staff. They believe in what we have in the locker room. And that belief comes through each and every week right now. They understand that we're always in these games. And so we have a very resilient group. I think that's step number one. And then where we got to get better, and I alluded to it last night, is we got to start taking control of these games a little bit more. We got to play cleaner football, which I thought in some aspects we did.
Yeah, that's exactly the point, what I was making a little bit earlier. You got Minnesota at Minnesota. Now, I know they're down a little bit, Minnesota, but that's a quality franchise with a good coaching staff. They find a way to stay in games. Pittsburgh, who's middling about this year, but they're a good franchise. Then you got Philadelphia the day after Thanksgiving. Then you have Green Bay. So the next 4 weeks, I don't think you could allow a bad second and third quarter and rely on Caleb Williams to make this work in the final quarter. I don't think that's going to work 4 out of 4 times. And you're trying to get, 3 wins of the next 4 weeks. Sitting at 6-3, the number is 10, maybe 11, and that's where you want to get to. Because the NFC North right now, the Lions are 6-3. I think they're going to have no trouble at the end of the season. They're pretty healthy. The Lions are probably a 12-win team. Bears at 6-3 again. Packers lost again, and they're now 5-3-1. Really rough week for Jordan Love and Matt LaFleur up in Green Bay. Jordan Love has not gotten a lot of national criticism in his career. He's mostly had a good career. He got a lot last week. People were questioning both him and Matt LaFleur. It's a combo criticism because, like, Jordan Love's going to be making $50 million to play B-level football. But then some people are putting the blame at Matt LaFleur, saying, let this guy play. Let him cut through. You're being too predictable. There was a play for the Green Bay Packers on a second down, and the defensive player yelled out, inside run, inside run. You could hear it on national TV. And Josh Jacobs gets the ball, and an inside run gets absolutely blown up. They knew what offense was coming. The Vikings are 4-5, and as we said, it's kind of last call for them. Let's get to this week's slate in the NFL. Really interesting. I want to start with Thursday Night Football. Patriots 27, Jets 14. Not a surprise. The Jets stink, and the Patriots are very good. The Patriots are now 9-2. What's really interesting is that Drake May, the Patriots' young quarterback, only in year two, taking two spots after Caleb Williams, one spot after Jaden Daniels in the 2024 draft. He is the flavor of the month in the NFL. He is in the top three for MVP with Matthew Stafford. If I said before the season that MVP would come down to Matthew Stafford of the Rams and Drake May of the Patriots, not a lot of people would have bet on that one. I think you could have got that at plus 5,000 or plus 6,000. Great win by the Patriots, and the Patriots really control their own destiny. They could go on a run here, finish out the season. They have a relatively easy schedule, and they could make the Bills into a wild card team and have home field advantage. Keep an eye on the Patriots. A couple other games, Commanders, Dolphins, that's brutal. Panthers, Falcons, similarly brutal. Buccaneers at Bills, noon on Sunday. That's fantastic. Buccaneers got to get it together. Bills at 6-3. The Texans versus the Titans. It's last call for the Texans. Very good defense. Middling offense. C.J. Stroud injured. Davis Mills high-end backup. The Texans are 4-5. Then you have the Packers at the Giants on Sunday. Jameis Winston starting for the Giants. I hate that if I'm a Packer fan. I'd rather face Russell Wilson. Packers are 5-3-1 and need to beat the Giants, and this is going to be a tougher game than you think because Jameis Winston, he's a character. He's either going to throw a touchdown to your team or a touchdown to our team. He loves interceptions and he loves big touchdowns. Bengals at Steelers on Sunday. Steelers are 5-4. Keep an eye on this. The Bengals are 3-6, but Joe Burrow has resumed practice activities. It doesn't mean he's healthy. If the Bengals could get a couple wins in a row and get it to like 500, Joe Burrow will probably play games in the middle of December. Jaguars at Chargers, Seahawks at Rams, one of the prime games of the weekend. That's 3 o'clock local time on Fox. Seahawks 7-2, Rams at 7-2. Everybody loves the Rams. Seahawks, they like, not love. Sam Darnold having a great season. 49ers, Mac Jones keeping them afloat. They're 6-4. They're at the Cardinals. Cardinals are brutal. Ravens at Browns. Ravens are 4-5. Browns are 2-7. Last call for the Ravens. Can't afford a loss in a game like this. Chiefs at Broncos. I think Patrick Mahomes is 13-1 in the regular season versus the Broncos in his career. Chiefs are 5-4. Everyone expects them to go on a run, make the playoffs, wild card, whatever it may be. Huge opportunity for the Broncos. The only, to my opinion on the Chiefs is the only way to beat Patrick Mahomes is not have him present in the playoffs. Another great game, Sunday night, NBC Peacock, Lions at Eagles, Lions 6-3, Eagles 7-2. Will be a huge one for the Lions to try to get home field in the NFC. And then Monday night, Cowboys at Raiders. Wow. I may have to find something else to do. I might have to hang with my family or something like that. Cowboys at Raiders is brutal for Monday Night Football. So that's a week's the slate. We talked about the Bears, 6-3. A lot to get to there. But what's really interesting, I just want to take 1 minute on this before we break. The national media coverage of the Bears and Caleb Williams. It's interesting because I work on a national show, The Dan Patrick Show. Paul Papst here, 670 The Score on the tailgate. And I also work here at The Score. And there's a galactically different levels of coverage with local sports radio and national sports radio. And earlier this season, a national sports radio guy, I think you know him, Colin Coward, said the Bears and Caleb Williams and Ben Johnson is just not going to work out. It was a declaration. And 3 weeks ago, same guys and similar other guys like that said Caleb Williams may not be a great football player. He may just be good. And then last week, after Caleb Williams pulls that game out against the Giants and really takes charge and really was the hero of the fourth quarter, all these same sports media guys from national sports media guys, Caleb Williams is a fourth quarter machine. They're hitting their stride. Him and Ben Johnson, the perfect combo. What happens is national media, a lot of them, especially some of the people I just mentioned, they watch highlights of the Bears. They don't watch the Bears' entire game. And to break down this team, it's hard to if you don't watch the entire game, because the Bears are up and down and up and down. No game has been pretty this entire year. But if you judge Caleb Williams and Ben Johnson based off highlights or lowlights, you're not getting the big picture. If you're making a declaration that Ben Johnson and Caleb Williams are not going to work out, stick with it. Don't change your mind 4 weeks later. Stick with it, right? Coming up next, college football, the morale meter, my Bears game prediction, and we're going to talk more about this national topic with Mark Grody from our great midday show at The Score. That's next. This is The Tailgate, 670 The Score.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Black Friday? More like Black Friday, yay! Shop the DSW Black Friday sale and take 30% off almost all the shoes, accessories, and giftable goodies we've got at DSW.com. Plus 30% off just about every regular price item at your DSW store. Score shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. So carpe the deal. Head to Designer Shoe Warehouse and get that gift list done. DSW, let us surprise you.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
We're back with more of The Tailgate with Paul Pabst.
I love football. Love it. Love it.
Saturdays on 670 The Score and the Odyssey app.
Back on The Tailgate, 670 The Score. I am Paul Pabst here with Tyler on the board. We're playing hurt. We got kids' birthday parties today. We got baptisms tomorrow. We're going to try to figure out a way to watch a lot of football on our phones and satisfy our family obligations. College football, lot to recap from last week. An unreal ending for Indiana at Penn State. That was fantastic. Not a great day for Fernando Mendoza, but that last drive, that unreal catch by the Hoosiers wide receiver Omar Cooper, 1 foot in, great job by the refs. Indiana University stays undefeated. What a weird situation. If Penn State won that game, the headline would have been, Penn State upsets the number two Hoosiers at home. What year is this? What lifetime is this that the Hoosiers are number two and can go in 2-touchdown favorite against Penn State? Ohio State, A&M, Bama, Georgia, all miss. They all won handily. Texas Tech with a huge win to drop BYU. Oregon got by Iowa. I really thought Iowa had that one. Iowa's got a good defense this year. Notre Dame spanks Navy last week. And even the Wisconsin Badgers won in the slop last week. Good for Wisconsin. Get off the schneid. College football today, you have Badgers at Hoosiers. The Irish are at Pittsburgh. It's a sellout at Pitt. They don't usually sell at football games, even though they have a good football program. Keep an eye on this game. This is Super Bowl time for Pitt trying to beat the Irish. The Irish running game will probably be too much for them. Michigan at Northwestern at Wrigley Field. I would love to be there for this one. And a big couple big ones, Oklahoma at Alabama today, Iowa at USC, Florida at Ole Miss, Texas at Georgia tonight. Must win for Texas. So A lot of college football, a lot more Bears coming up. But joining us now on the tailgate, he's the co-host of the great midday show right here on 670 The Score, Raheemy Harrison Grody. He also co-hosts the Take the North podcast. He's Mark Grody. All right, Grody, we're going to get to the Bears in a second, but I want to run with something that you guys, I'm going to get to the NFC North with you in a second, but earlier this week on your show, which I listen to daily, you were talking about this phrase called living in the known that Caleb Williams and Rome Odunze and other Bears are doing. Living in the known. And you guys are trying to chop up what it means. Is it a real phrase? What have you learned about this with your great investigation so far?
I don't know, because I can't figure out what it means. And I'm not even sure that the players who uttered it, you just mentioned Caleb Williams, who did utter it a couple of weeks ago, I think it was, and then Rome Odunze. And they're like, hey, we're trying to live in the known, right. Live in the know. And sometimes they don't add the N, which makes it even more confusing and ambiguous. So you're living in the know? Okay. What do you know? Or what do you know? What is living in the known? And honestly, I have not gotten a good answer from it. And what I obviously, this comes from the coaching staff. And I think that they look at it as, oh, this is something neat and profound and deep to, right. to answer questions with the media, because instead of just, so I give them a little bit of credit for not, for giving something of a creative answer to our questions. I have no idea what it means, Paul.
You have no idea. I was listening to your show the other day and it was like, who's on first, to listen to you three debate living in the known. So I've been chopping this up all week in my head. So I don't think it's a real phrase. I looked it up. It's never been used before. It's never been written before or spoken about. Living in the known. Like, live in the now, as you said on your show, that's a common phrase.
Yeah.
I think it's one of those things where someone was trying to say a phrase and they kind of stumbled upon something that's never been said before. My wife once accused me of not saying something truthful. And she goes, instead of you're lying through your teeth, she goes, you're lying to my teeth. And it was a great line, and I loved it, but it was not a real phrase. But at this juncture, when you're winning ball games, whatever works, works, and you stick with it. So living in the known, it's like the scene in Animal House when the Germans bomb Pearl Harbor. Forget it, he's rolling. Forget it, they're rolling. That's my theory on this.
Yeah, I mean, I guess. And that's sort of where, like, it's not that big of a deal to me. Like, it's great. Like, if this is working and that's what's going through the locker room and that's what they want to tell the media,
yeah,
that's fine. But for me to sit here and tell you that I understand what they're saying would be false. And maybe what you're saying is the closest thing possible to it. But the beautiful thing is I get to be in the locker room 2 days a week. By the end of this season, Paul, I am going to get to the bottom of the known.
That's great. And you're going to win an Emmy, a Pulitzer, whatever it may be. All right. I want to get to the Bears, but I want to start on your podcast. You hit all the NFC North. And I like that because the Bears don't live in a vacuum. The entire NFC North decides what happens to the Bears. So I'm going to start with the Vikings. I really like them as a franchise. I love their coach. I like, not love, J.D. McCarthy. They're 4-5, but they're like a simmering 4-5. Do they still make you a little nervous?
Oh, yeah. Like, sort of a running joke on our show, Raheemy Harrison Grody, as you mentioned, is that on a week-to-week basis, oh, the Vikings might be good. Oh, the Vikings might suck.
Right.
Oh, the Vikings might be good. Oh, J.J. McCarthy might be good. Oh, he might suck too. So I am all over the board right now with the Minnesota Vikings. And you're right about their franchise. The thing about the Minnesota Vikings, and I don't have it right in front of me, is they rarely drop off the table.
Exactly.
They rarely, like, have the 3-7, you know, 3-13 or 3-14 season now, I guess it would be, to where they're like, oh my God, like, occasionally they'll go bad, but usually, even in their bad years, quote unquote, they're usually a game or 200, 500, or maybe back when you could be 500, you were 500. So there, to me, the Minnesota Vikings are the most confusing team in the division, right?
Yeah. And it's a weird team because they have a lot of baggage, or in a weird way, because as management, they moved on from Sam Darnold, which at the time they kind of had to do. And they moved on from Daniel Jones because he got a better offer, a better opportunity with the Colts. But now those two guys are like the MVP candidates or comeback player of the year candidates, and it makes them look like they made the wrong decision. Did you think it was the wrong decision when they let Sam Darnold go at the time?
No, I didn't, because Kevin O'Connell, because he was part of what, and obviously he is part of what made Sam Darnold good, but I was probably giving Kevin O'Connell more credit than he deserved based on what you correctly said, that Sam Darnold is justifiably a potential MVP candidate when it's all said and done because of the year he's having. And Here's the other thing, Paul. When I was at the combine a couple years ago for the Caleb JJ McCarthy draft, mm-hmm. one of the common themes from multiple GMs that I spoke to off the record were that, yeah, Caleb was the top prospect. Everybody, a lot of people were saying JJ McCarthy is the number two with a bullet, that like his name and his stock was up. So I was like, I didn't necessarily see it the way they saw it, because we just didn't see a ton of it at Michigan because of what Jim Harbaugh ran there. But that's what everybody was saying. So I guess I am a little bit surprised that he has struggled as he has.
Mark Grody of this Tailgate on the Score. Paul Papp sitting here with Mark Grody talking from the Take North podcast. Raheemy Harris and Grody, all that good stuff. He's got eight different jobs. The Green Bay Packers have had a rough little run here. I think they're a very good team that had two bad losses. I think they're obviously better than the record. But when you watch Jordan Love and you talk to people about Jordan Love, my theory is that he might be a good quarterback, and that may be it, which is not the worst thing in the world, but it does feel like he may be what he is right now. What do you see?
I don't think he's a special quarterback, and you're right. Good. There's something to be said for a good quarterback.
It does feel like an insult, though.
It does, yeah, relative to what they have had in the past, but they still might have a guy planted at that spot for the next, you know, 9 to 12 years, which mm-hmm. is still accomplishing something. And you, Lord knows, you and I would have accepted good before a quarterback's name. Absolutely. But I agree with you. I don't think he's the special. As a matter of fact, my podcast partner on Take the North, Dan Wiederer, I think put it really well. He's like the top tier of the mid quarterbacks, like
right.
like he's near the top of the mid, but he's not like a great quarterback, and it doesn't appear. And I've given him up, like when he was hot early on, when he first came to the league, when he first started going and actually
right.
got the ball, I was a little bit scared. At this point, I think this is a good quarterback, but not going to be a great quarterback, nor an elite quarterback. And I guess that is something of an accomplishment for Bears fans.
Yeah, and I was talking on the Dan Patrick show earlier in the week, and Dan was saying, is he a top 10 quarterback? And
no.
I think my answer was he might be, but I think it would be 10. It would be the 10th
yeah.
spot.
Yes.
Which
yes.
is not the worst thing in the world. It kind of reminds me, and this is a real apples and oranges, but you know, Eli Manning, I think, was like a B-level quarterback in the regular season and had two great postseasons. You know, he never won a playoff game again, except for the 2 years he won the Super Bowl. He's going to the Hall of Fame off it. So sometimes good with a good team around you can be good enough. All right, Grody, I want to move on to the Detroit Lions. I actually picked them to win the Super Bowl this year. I think it's almost like if you remember the Bulls back in the day in the late 80s, early 90s, when they had to get past the Pistons and learn to win. That's my comp. The past 2 years, the Detroit Lions have been close, really close 2 years ago. And this may be the year that they figure it all out. Do you see any issues, offense, defense, other with the Lions?
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously there's issues where Dan Campbell wouldn't have grabbed the playbook and said, I think I'm going to take over here. So
it's a usual red flag.
It is a red flag. And it just, it's sort of satisfying from a Bears perspective that we have their offensive coordinator. And we all know what the Lions did to the Bears 52-21
right.
on September 14th, a fateful day for Ben Johnson and the Bears. I do think that Detroit is the best team in the division. I do think it's possible that they could accomplish things and get to the Super Bowl. But I will tell you this. I don't think they're as good as they were last year.
Okay.
I don't think they are as sure of a thing as they were last year. And I think it's because they are, if we can go back to it, they are a known, Paul. They
yeah.
are known. And so teams have figured out ways to be better against them and beat them. And I say all of that knowing that they are in first place. And if I had to pick it still, I would probably still pick the Detroit Lions to win the division.
Yeah, and I think the Rams have to be right up there. All right, let's get to the Bears. The past two wins have been, they could have been losses. Some say they should have been losses. I don't lean that way. I heard your show, I think, on Monday when you're debating good loss, bad loss, ugly
yeah.
win. And how do you look at the past 2 weeks? Because I don't think there's such thing as a bad win or an ugly win. There's more to be desired. But again, last year, the past 2 weeks would have been losses. So
mm-hmm.
how do you lean that this is a light positive or a big positive?
I think it's I would probably say light positive because I have discussed, degrees of wins. And I started doing that with the Raiders game earlier this year.
Yeah.
You can't give up 240 rushing yards on the ground and just walk away and not look back and say, well, a win is a win is a win and all that kind of stuff. You know why? Because we know that about Bears teams, that when you have, bad wins. And I know that sounds ridiculous to people listening right now.
It's a weird phrase.
It is a weird phrase, but I can give you examples where it wasn't sustainable. And I mean, this just goes to having watched too much Bears football. In 2018, what they did that year with an elite defense and a lack of offense, it didn't turn out to be sustainable. And that was a blast of a regular season. 2001, you remember that year, a 13-3 year with Dick Geron and the Mike Brown back-to-back walk-offs. You get to the playoffs against the Eagles and you get Hugh Douglas. You get your butts kicked. And then the next year you weren't very good. So this is what fires me up when I talk about the grief. Is it sustainable? Now, a couple of things are sustainable about what the Bears are doing. I think I've seen enough Caleb Williams going back to last year even, and then this year and recently, as you talked about those, the last two games, is that he is really good in the fourth quarter, even when they were losing games. I think that's a real sustainable thing, and I want him to put the first three quarters together as well. I also think Ben Johnson running your running game is sustainable, too, because, wow, have we ever seen a Bears head coach in recent history say, I'm going to make the running game better, and we have the right personnel, and then it got better?
Yeah, there's so many good things. I could do an hour on this, going back to offseason, building the offensive line so you don't have to spend at the running back position. Smart move. And that's why Kyle Manungai has 175 yards, because he's got a good line. I would say the stat that jumped out to me so far this season is, did Caleb Williams, was he sacked 68 times last year?
He was. That's the number.
I think that he's on pace this year for less than half that. And that is huge, because it's not just not getting sacked. It's his escapability. But it does show that, like, getting rid of the ball somewhere, not always the best decision, but not having a third and 18, it just changes every chance for your offense.
I mean, how many third and 18s did they have last year?
That should have been the name of the season, third and 18.
Seriously. And look, he's had some penalty issues, some bad grounding penalties this year at times in the name of getting rid of the ball. But you mentioned his escapability, his elusivity is really, like, that's the one thing right now that you could look like. I know we all used to do the Pat Mahomes comp to him, which I think is just like, we need to strip that off the table. But that is a Patrick Mahomes trick, where he, like, you just, and even Aaron Rodgers. I mean, how many times did we watch, when he was in his prime, especially Aaron Rodgers, just put that one little move, and to have the presence of mind to know where the pressure is coming from. And then on the other side of it, remember Justin Fields, how bad he was at that, and not feeling the pressure. So it really is a sparkling sign that he has been able to, in context, get away and not take all the bad sacks that he did last year.
Mark Grody, Raheemy Harrison Grody right here on The Score. Join us also the Take the North podcast. I have a theory about the national coverage of Caleb Williams versus the local coverage.
I love it.
Okay, so I see a lot of hot takes. I'm not going to name too many names. If you follow me on Twitter, you can see what I posted. A lot of people make big sweeping declarations about Caleb Williams week to week, month to month. And I think what happens is, I work on a national show, the Dan Patrick Show, but I also work at The Score. So I'm doing local, and I'm a Bears fan. So I have three TVs in front of me on game day, one for the Bears, one for the Red Zone, one for the best game that's on TV. But my focus is mostly on the Bears. I try to watch every play. What I think most in the national media do is they watch a lot of Red Zone and whatever the feature game is. So they see Caleb Williams highlights and lowlights, and make their decisions based off that. And all that guy is a highlight and a lowlight 25 games into his career. He doesn't have a lot of in-between stuff like a Jared Goff. And so when you see Caleb Williams throw into double coverage to Adunze in his own shadow of his own end zone a couple weeks ago, you're like, wow, he does not have it yet. And then if you see him running like crazy and making unbelievable plays in the highlights from this past weekend, you're like, this guy took charge, stole a win from a loss. And what happens is, the national media is ill-informed sometimes on the entire game itself. One last thing, it's like the pass to Colston Loveland to win the game against the Bengals.
Yeah.
Great pass, great job by Colston, game winner, Caleb looks like a hero. The two plays before that, Caleb was running around with his head back to the defense, and it looked like a catastrophe. And so if you only watched the highlight, you thought, what a great game, instead of seeing some of the not-so-beautiful plays. On the other hand, guys like you, people who cover the Bears day-to-day, week-to-week, they see every play, and so thus, they have perspective on Williams, and it never matches the national coverage.
No, no, it's true, and it's frustrating. Because not only because of that narrative, but because of the fact that when you are critical of Caleb Williams, there's a certain segment of Bears fans that just don't want to hear it. And that if you say, oh, well, Caleb Williams is great and he had the 17-yard touchdown run to win this game last week against the Giants, had to throw to Colson Love in the week before. But if you dare say, oh, man, in the first two quarters, it wasn't good and he was inaccurate and he wasn't getting rid of the ball quickly enough and he left receivers wide open and he didn't take off and run when he was supposed to, then people are coming at you.
Yeah.
And they're not watching and here's the thing, man, like I am basing it on Caleb, and I've backed off a little bit of Caleb Williams is going to be great. Caleb Williams is going to be elite. Caleb Williams is right. going to be generational, because those are really, really,
it's lofty. Rare in anybody.
And you're right. You're right. But I am, my opinions are formed and my evaluation of him is formed based on, can Caleb Williams be, as we talked about earlier, a good quarterback? Yeah. And there are things that still need to be done with Caleb Williams in the first three quarters and even in the fourth quarter at times to become where we could just be like, oh, Caleb Williams, yeah, he's a good quarterback. And I don't leave out the possibility for great or elite, but I'm just talking about what can Caleb do to be better, to become a guy that you and I, Paulie, sit here and say, that's a good quarterback.
Yeah, and I think every week it seems a little more that direction of good / getting to be great. The mistakes, the checkdowns, things are going right. Sorry, last thing before we let you go. Luther Burden and Colston Loveland, it felt like a little bit of a breakout week for them. Have they done enough to lift themselves to starting, or is it more about not starting, just targets and priority for the offense?
It's interesting. I'll start with Luther Burden, who has just made some really big catches this year. Obviously, this past week against the Giants, you know, three catches, 51 yards. He had the big 27-yard catch on the final drive to set up Caleb Williams' 17-yard run. I think that what they're doing with him right now is perfect. I expect that it will eventually go up, but sometimes, and I know that people are going to be calling for more Luther Burden, sometimes a coach or a manager in baseball or any other sport, they know what they're doing when they're developing a player. Joe Maddon knew what he was doing when he wasn't playing Albert Elmora Jr. against everybody. Everybody wanted him to play, and because he was hitting well, maybe you're putting him in positions with which to succeed. I think that's what's going on with Luther Burden right now. I don't know that Luther Burden is ready for the full boat and for 10 to 12 targets in the game to have a DJ Moore or Roma Dunze game, because he did miss the offseason program and was delicate during training camp. So that cannot be taken lightly that he missed that part. So I think it's the sometimes you just in a minimalist way, you have the perfect development of a rookie player. Do I think he eventually will get more? Absolutely, yes. As far as Colson Loveland is concerned, I think he's even a little bit more ahead of Burden because of the complete game, because he does block, because we're starting to, oh, that's what you do. Okay, I see the route running. I see the catch the ball and run the ball into the end zone. Both of these guys run with ferocity. So I think Loveland, you're going to start to see more of him before you start to see more of Burden.
Final 30 seconds. The Bears next three games, Vikings tomorrow, Steelers, Eagles. If you're back on this show in 3 weeks and 2 days, what are we talking about?
Wow, that's a gauntlet, man. So that's four games right there. You're going to make me do this. Okay, so.
I don't need a record. I just.
No, I know.
More like a tone.
A tone, yeah. I think, okay. I think the Bears are going to win the game at Minnesota, because I think if we're all talking about how great Ben Johnson is, and I'm part of that because we've seen him make adjustments, he is not going to, I don't feel like he's a lose to the same team twice kind of head coach, but you are going up against Kevin O'Connell. I like them. Man, you never know with Aaron Rodgers. You know, he owns Soldier Field. He's got the best parking spot there. When he comes in, he can do anything he wants. So that's going to be a blast. I am worried. So I'm not too worried about Minnesota and Pittsburgh. I am worried at Philadelphia. I do not have a great feeling about that, because things always come undone when the Bears play in primetime. Is that right? I think it is. At Philadelphia, and then at Green Bay. How can I sit here and say I feel good about it? I mean, Thomas Brown is not walking through that door to coach that game. So I don't know how good I could feel about the Green Bay game.
Mark Grody of Rahimi Harris and Grody, listen every weekday, and don't forget to take the North podcast. I could chop it up with you for an hour. I got to let you go.
Same.
Thanks for coming on, bro.
All right, Paul. Thanks, man.
That's a funny guy right there. I love chopping up. Like I said, I could do 2 hours of Grody in my sleep. Coming up next, our pub and grub of the week, three and out, the Bears fan morale meter, and my Bears prediction. All that's next. This is The Tailgate. I'm Paul Pabst. 670 The Score.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes, subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Black Friday? More like Black Friday. Shop the DSW Black Friday sale and take 30% off almost all the shoes, accessories, and giftable goodies we've got at DSW.com. Plus 30% off just about every regular price item at your DSW store. Score shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. So carpe the deal. Head to Designer Shoe Warehouse and get that gift list done. DSW, let us surprise you.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan, equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
We're back with more of The Tailgate with Paul Pabst.
You're supposed to be a professional.
We'll work harder than anybody to win. But man, when we're dead tired in the fourth quarter, winning's got to mean more than just money.
They're hired to do a job.
Job! Job! I don't want no job. I want to play football. I want some feeling. I want some team spirit.
This ain't no high school. You don't have to love each other to play.
It's just what I mean, you bastard. Every time I call a game, you call it a business. And every time I call a business, you call it a game.
Saturdays on 670 The Score and the Odyssey app.
Back on The Tailgate, 670 The Score. I am Paul Pabst. A lot of college football today. Great slate. A lot of NFL tomorrow. A lot of good games to look forward to. It's so much good stuff to end the year. Here's what we do on The Tailgate. We recommend places to watch football and eat food. Pub and Grub of the Week, we call it on The Tailgate, Tyler. Let's go to our stomping ground, my stomping ground in the South Suburbs in Homewood. Fifth Quarter Tap, a lot of TVs, wings, pizza, burgers, all the four food groups. They have stuffed burgers. That sounds good. Burgers are great, and you stuff a bunch of stuff in them and make them better. Sign me up for that. The Fifth Quarter Tap down in Homewood, right on Dixie Highway, right where I grew up. So one little issue about living in Chicago. I live over by north of DePaul University, a little Wrightwood and Racine area. I need a good Italian deli in my neighborhood. I don't know who I have to call. I don't know if I have to call the government or I have to call some chamber of commerce. But there's not a good Italian deli within blocks of my pad. You know, JP Graziano's down on Randolph. We got to get somewhere like that in our neighborhood. I may have to call Big Cat and see if we could put it together. But I need a good Italian deli within walking distance of my house. These are the problems I'm dealing with, Tyler, at this juncture of my life.
Oh, I hear you. I hear you 100%.
When you have a good Italian deli in your neighborhood, all is right with the world. Let's get to it. Three and out on The Tailgate. Three football questions, college or pro or other. Tyler brings it. I don't know what they are. Tyler, hit me with your number one.
Number one, which player in tomorrow's Bears-Vikings game will have the most combined yards from scrimmage?
Oh, I may have to cop out with Swift, but it seems like Swift is back, and Manungai had that week where he was taking charge because Swift was out. dumping the ball down to him. I've noticed more checkdowns. So I'm going to have to go with Swift. He's been running the ball well all year. It's really interesting that he's a guy that kind of was given up on by other teams. His career has kind of resurged in Chicago. And with him and Menungai together, the running back position is stable for now and lightly threatening. All right, number two.
I like that answer. Going Bears there. Number two, in this Week 11 NFL slate, which quarterback will have the most passing yards?
Oh, that's a good one. The most passing yards. It's usually a losing team. I will throw out Tua Tagovailoa. Commanders versus Dolphins in Madrid. It could be a battle. They throw the ball a lot down there with Dolphins. The other one I would say is, man, Baker Mayfield versus the Bills. That's going to be a shootout. Baker usually piles up the stats in the fourth quarter. Bucks, Bills, another great one this weekend. Your third question is?
That's a good one. I like the international one, too, because those games can get kind of funky. All right, number three. Here, you might remember this one. A few weeks ago, I asked you who would replace James Franklin at Penn State. The very next day, another big-time program had their job open up. Who will replace Billy Napier as head coach of the Florida Gators in 2026?
Okay, I've been thinking about this a lot, and that's a great question by you. Lane Kiffin is rolling down at Ole Miss. Now, all these jobs came open, and everyone, just 2 weeks ago on the show, I said Lane Kiffin's in the best position of anyone in sports. He could take the Florida job, he could take the LSU job, or stay at Ole Miss and get a big pay raise. Usually in college football, when these jobs open up, within 3 or 4 days, the coach that's being pursued gets a contract extension and a boost. Like Matt Rhule at Nebraska, his name was thrown around for Penn State. Next thing you know, he gets a boost and an extension at Nebraska. That hasn't happened yet for Lane Kiffin at Ole Miss. And I'm not sure why, because if you're Ole Miss, just write the check. Just say, Lane, what do you want? Here's the check. We're buying a great football coach. It's making us relevant. It's a good investment. And he hasn't signed it. And I'm starting to lean towards Florida and Lane Kiffin getting together in about 2 months.
That was the answer I was hoping you were going to say. I appreciate it.
I hope he doesn't leave Ole Miss. I love him at Ole Miss. It's been really great. All right, let's get to the morale meter. How is morale for Bears fans? The morale meter last week was 7.3. I have it at 7.7, and here's why. I know the Bears have a tough run coming up here, but look at where we are as Bears fans, supporters, media, whatever you want to call us. The Bears are playing relevant football in mid-November. A year ago today, the Bears were in the midst of a 4-game losing streak after a 4-2 start. They just lost to the Packers. Remember that one? That was ugly. And then they went on to lose 10 straight, and they were out of the playoff picture quickly. December was just an embarrassment last year. And right now, the biggest thing on a Bears fan mind is, can we get past this gauntlet? This is a great thing to be. This is where you want to be. Bears and Vikings this weekend. Let's get my pick. The Vikings are usually good. Rarely do they have a bad season. This is not the Vikings team of last year. They're still ramping up JJ McCarthy. This is a perfect time for the Bears to douse these guys. Get a few takeaways from McCarthy. Control this game. I'm going Bears 27-17. Good win. Nice win. Clean win. Couple picks from the defense. That's a tailgate for week 11. We're getting close to Thanksgiving. Underrated holiday. Maybe talk some Thanksgiving movies next week. We have three more months of football. 3 more months of football, college and pro. Soak it in. Watch games. Ignore your family. Talk to you next week. I'm Paul Pabst. This is the tailgate. 670 The Score.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.